Okay, we're on the second shir, the Agada. Got to the Arba Banim. Can I get Arba Banim? Dibra Torah, Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, Echad Shein, the Eglisha. So Gabe, the Chacham, Chasma Sofer says, Derech Halatza, that the Chacham wants to know every single detail of the Seder, what's going on. What's know every little thing. So we tell him, listen, you know, we really like to help you, we'd like to tell you every little thing, but there's no time. We gotta get going over here. There's a lot to do, not much time. We have to, you know, eat the Suda, eat the Afikomen b'chetzos. And since we have to make sure, you know, we eat before, we can't eat after, because why? Because ain't maftir nachar Pesach afikomen. Because after the Pesach, after the afikomen, you're not allowed to eat anything. So therefore, we tell them, look, we have to hurry up. And therefore, afata merlo ain't maftir nachar Pesach afikomen. That is that there's no time. Whereas the Rasha, what does he say? Ma'avadolaz lachem. He's the opposite. He doesn't want to know all the details. He says, who cares? Let's get to the food already. We need all the food. I want the food. So what do we tell him? Ilu hayasham lo ya nigal. He said, listen, you're so impatient. You know, why do we want to get to the meal? So he said, you're impatient. If you were there, you wouldn't have been redeemed. Why? Because that's what happened to the Bnei Ephraim, that they left early, Mitzrayim, and they were decimated. So that you would have been, you wouldn't have been nigal. You would have been, you no patience. You would have been like the Bnei Ephraim, who left early and were wiped out. So therefore, Ilu haya sham lo haya nigal. Also, see the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha. It says all the mitzvahs of the night, the Ktani Magdolim are the same. Right? Kids that are chinuch age, they have to do all the mitzvahs. So Lagabi, everything, they're the same thing. The Gdolim are telling. What is the difference? So the Magen Avraham says in Simintaf Ein Aleph that you're allowed to give children to eat Mikaradin Matzah on Erev Pesach. Why? Because the only reason why we don't eat it, because it's so you should come to eat the matzah with an appetite. So that's not so, we don't care so much about kids. They have to have an appetite, we need a matzah. So that's okay. We can give them then. And also, we don't eat anything after the afikomen. Why? So that the time of the matzah should remain in our mouth. That is not, that also, we don't really care so much about the little kids if they have the time of the matzah in their mouth. And also, we don't care about so much. So he says, now we can answer the famous question that everybody asks. Right, everybody asks that we're upset at the Rasha because he says ma avodas lachem, right? Lachem v'lo lo. He says you, meaning you, not for me. He says, and so everybody asks, the Rasha is the same way. And excuse me, the Chacham is the same way. What does the Chacham say? He also says you. He says ma idos v'chukim asher Hashem Elokechem is commanding you, right? Ma idos v'chukim mishmatim asher tiva Hashem Elokechem eschem. He's also saying eschem. So how come we're not getting excited? So he says that the Chacham, that's what he's asking. That he's saying, is there any difference between the kids and you? You know, as a kid, one of the kids asking this, right? The son. So the son, the Chacham is asking, is there any difference between? Yeah, the Chacham. Right. So the Chacham says, what's the difference between what are all these Eidos and Chukim Hashem Tivaser Eschem? Meaning, is there any difference between you and me? You're a Gdol, I'm a Katan. Is there any difference, or we're exactly the same Lagavi everything? So what do we answer him? There's a difference that we're not allowed to eat anything after the afikomen, but you're a kid, you're allowed to eat after the afikomen. That's the answer. The Rasha, he said a couple of things here of how the Chasam Sofer used to deal with Rishayim. A couple of maisa. One maisa says that there in the Rosh Kahal, he was a very wealthy, haughty individual who was also a boor and a maaretz at the same time. And he always caused the Chasam Sofer problems. So once he actually went so far as getting a letter, whatever, from the government to close up the yeshiva, Chasam Sofi Yeshiva on the coming up Sunday. So on Shabbos, this wealthy man told the Shamash of the Chasam Sofi to go tell the Chovei Sofer, tomorrow, that's it, your yeshiva is closed. So he was upset, you know, he said, how can I go and tell him, you know. So the Ashur told him, listen, you better go, you're in big trouble. Okay, so he had no other choice. So he came to Chasam Sofer on Shabbos crying, and he said, what's wrong? And he says, this guy, this wealthy man, Rosh Kahal, said he's closing up the yeshiva tomorrow. So the Chasam Sofer said, what? He wants to close up my yeshiva? He says, he's going to close up his life. He's not going to close up my yeshiva. Sure enough, the next day, he died on the spot. Vatahom kol ha'ir. Another maysa, once the Chasam Sofer was traveling with some people in his kehila to a wedding, and they stayed at some inn. And Chasam Sofer was in his room at the inn. All of a sudden, a group of robbers come to attack the inn and the visit, you know, the guests. So one of the Chasam Sofer's relatives ran to him and says, you know, this group of ganavim are here and they're taking everybody's things, whatever. So he said, oh yeah. So he went out. And he said, he asked the Ganavim, he says, who's your leader? So they said, this guy over here is our leader. So Chasam Sofer looks at the guy, and the guy goes paralyzed on the spot. He says, like a rock, can't move. So the Ganavim got a little bit nervous, to say the least, and they all took off. So the guy, the head of the Ganavim, was still like standing there, you know, totally paralyzed. And that's it. In the meantime, Chasam Sofer and his group leaves the inn the next day, and the group of robbers, they run after him, and they said, please, please, do something, you know, take away the, you know, our leader's still paralyzed, and can you do something? So he said, listen, no problem, I'll help you out, on the condition that you promise me that you're not going to, you know, be involved with Ganevas anymore, and you're going to get yourself nice, honest, you know, make an honest living. And so they said, fine, 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 just help us. So he says, okay. He goes back to the inn with them. He tells them to give the guy a drink of water. The guy took a drink of water, and his paralyzation disappeared. Yep. Okay. So the famous question is asked with the Rasha. We say to him, "Leave lo lo," right? He asks Mabo, "Zot lo zot lachem?" We said, "Lachem to you and not him," right? Since he took him out of the klal, hikashinav ve'mor lo bavur say asashem li leave lo lo. But we're talking to the Rasha. I said, "Why leave lo lo?" He said, "Leave lo lacha." It's in you. We're talking to him. You're saying we're speaking to the Rosh. We're saying leave a low, low. You, me and not him. One him. You're talking to him. You say leave a low lacha. Famous question. So he answers with mashal. There was once a king that his daughter got very ill. And the king called the doctor of his castle to do something to try to cure her. So fine, he goes to the girl, whatever. After a little while, the king wants to go visit, you know, his daughter, see what's doing. And as he gets closer, he hears like this fighting going on, argument, this or that, whatever. And he sees that there's this fight going on outside in the hallway between the sons of the king and this doctor. So the king comes up to the doctor. He says, what are you doing? What are you fighting with my sons for? And besides, well, you're not supposed to be out here now. I'm supposed to be in the room trying to cure my daughter. What are you doing out here? So he said, listen, king, I'll tell you. I checked out your daughter and I saw that it's hopeless. She's got a disease and nothing you can do about it. And not only that, it's very, very contagious. So to help her, I can't. There's nothing to do anymore. But the least I can do is try to make sure that your sons don't catch it. It's very contagious. So that's why I was fighting with your sons and telling them that they should stay away so they don't get sick. So Mele and Nimshal, same thing over here. Says, well, what do we do? This Rashi's a lost cause. Start arguing with them, telling so what do we do? The least we can do is that hope they shouldn't be contagious and affect others. And therefore we say, leave a lolo, we're talking to other people. If he was there, he would have been Niga. We're talking to other people concerning the Rashi. We're not talking to the Rashi himself. The Rashi himself is nothing, is a lost cause. But at least other people shouldn't be affected. So therefore we speak about him and not to him. Says Ilu Hayasham Lo Yanigal. As we said, it's here. If the Harasha would have been in Mitzrayim, he wouldn't have been Nigal. So he says that we have a Hora'ah LeDorot. Says the Chasam Sofer that Hashem tells us that in order to have the Geula, the first thing you got to do is you got to separate the Rishayim. Right, Ilu Hayasham Lo Yanigal. The Rishayim died, as we know, in Choshech or whatever. In order to have Geula, you got to get rid of the Rishayim, separate them, get them out of the way. Then you can have Geula. He brings also Mashal. There was once a king that he wanted to build a castle, and a castle that was spitz, right? Everything perfect, beautiful. Every little corner had to be exquisite. So he hired an architect, this, whatever, and he worked on it for a long, long time. And they made an unbelievable palace. Every single room had its decor and miyuchad. So came the day for the opening day or whatever. So they took a tour of the castle to show the king and everything, all the parts and everything. So they took him to here, took him there. Finally, they get to a certain part, and it was a terrible, terrible stench. It smelled terrible. So the king says, "What's going on over here? You know, I told you to make a fancy place. What it smells?" He said, "Yeah, listen, king, it's not exactly our fault." Then when the architect says, "He says, well, what do you mean?" He says, "Because you said you want a castle that everything is perfect, nothing dirty, nothing." Right, so you didn't want a place to garbage, incinerator. You don't want a place to throw the garbage, and you didn't want bathrooms either because it's not clean bathroom, you know. So then we weren't able to put in bathrooms or garbage dumps or whatever. So listen, we're only humans, and it smells. You know, what can you do without bathrooms? What can you do? So too says that you have to wait for the get rid of the. Have a biyuv, you know. You gotta have get rid of the rishayim. You gotta, if you want it to smell nice, you gotta first get rid of them. You're gonna leave the rishayim around; it's gonna smell nice. Ain malasa. Okay. Next thing he says, not really. It's under the category of tam ha'omer, but it's just dealing with the inyan achinach. He says a beautiful word in the name of the hafla. The Haflah says the following: as a Gemara in Moed Katan Yud Zayin, it says that im harav dome la malach yevakshu Torah mipiyu. That who should be your Rebbe? He said, if your Rebbe is like a angel, then you should request Torah from his mouth. In other words, you should only learn from a Rebbe that's like an angel. So what is that supposed to mean? I mean, who's an angel? How can we be an angel? Since when are we learning from angels? Well, what's going on? What does it mean? It's a beautiful idea. He says that we know, Chazal tell us, that an angel is nicknamed someone that's an omeid. Why? Because an angel doesn't, he has a set thing, and he doesn't grow. He doesn't grow in madrigas or whatever. No, his job is set and finished. That's an angel. It's called an omeid. Whereas people are called mahalich, because we go from madriga to madriga, we grow, whatever, so we're mahalchim, we move. Angels are static, they don't move. So he says, therefore, if you want to find yourself a Rebbe, you should find yourself a Rebbe that is domer lemalach, meaning that he's interested and willing to stay put. In other words, he could learn on himself and grow and do pilpul and learning and whatever and grow and grow and grow. But he's not going to affect the Talmidim that way. He has to give up his own madrigas and deal on with them and their madriga and teach them whatever, madrich them, and give up his own madrigas. So that's like a malach. If the Rebbe is like a malach, then learn from him. Meaning he's a malach that he's willing to be stationary, he's willing to give up his own growth for the sake of the Talmidim. That's a Rebbe you should learn by. Nice shot. he brings a mashal on the same lines from the Chasam Sofer himself, that he says there was once a king, yeah, that he had a beautiful garden. In the garden, there were every type of flower you can imagine, the most beautiful flowers. However, he got word that there was one flower that was missing, that he didn't have in his garden. And it bothered him because he had all types of flowers except this one. It's supposed to be like a beautiful flower, unbelievable. But he didn't have it. So he called over his gardener, chief gardener, and he said, "Listen, I want you to get a hold of this flower, whatever." So he says, "Listen, this flower is not here. It's on overseas somewhere. So you can't get it around, nothing around this country." He says, "Do what you have to do. Bring it by boat, whatever it costs. You're bringing this flower." "It's fine." So he goes, makes all the arrangements, and he has his flower sent by this boat or whatever. And day comes of its arrival. He goes to the port, travels to the port, and sure enough, in this little vase, whatever, there's this flower, beautiful looking flower. So he says, "Okay, now I have to get this back to the castle, whatever, and plant it in the garden." So he's as he's walking a little bit, it was a boiling hot day, and he was schwitzing, and he was so thirsty, and he had no water. He was dying of thirst. He had to have some water. And he looked, and he noticed that the plant wasn't doing well either, in his flower, right? It hadn't been watered in a while, and it was dying. So he goes, "Oh my gosh, now what am I going to do?" So all of a sudden he sees a guy with thing of water, like a bottle of water. So he runs over and says, "Oh, can I please, buy this bottle of water from you?" So he goes, "Okay, fine." So he sells him the bottle of water. So he takes the bottle, and he had a dilemma. He says, "Now, what should I do? On the one hand, I'm dying of thirst. I just want to just, chug this with a bottle of water. But if I drink the water, what's going to be with the plant? The plant's going to die. And I have a job here. I have to bring this plant. And if I drink the water, the plant's going to die. But if I give it to the plant, I'm going to die. I'm dying of thirst. What should I do? So he had an idea. What did he do? He took the water. He filled his mouth up with the water. A whole mouthful. And then he spit out the water into the plant. But not all the way. He get a few drops that are still left in his mouth, which he swallowed, which has calmed him down a little bit. Again, took another, filled up his mouth again. Spit the water into the plant, and again he had a little bit of water into thing, and he went on like this, so it calmed him down a little bit. He got a few drops for himself. Most of the water went to the plant. The plant lived, and he was able to be okay until he got to another source of water. So he says the same thing over here. He says that the Chacham, he's thirsty for a Torah. So he could say, "Good, that's it. I'm thirsty for Torah. I'm going to learn, and that's that." But then, what about, you have a job here. You have a job. You have to teach. You have to teach the Torah. If you're going to just drink all the water yourself, what's going to be with the plant? What's going to be with the people? What are you going to be with the Talmidim? So therefore, he has to know to, like we saw in the Mashal, you drink, but then you got to split it out. You have to give over the Torah. Keep a little bit for yourself, but you have to, most of it, you have to give over. And so that's the derech. To be said that the Rav has to be like a malach, that he has to be stationary a little bit, not go up in his own madriga sometimes in order to give over to others. Okay. We move over to the next section. Yachomi Rosh Chodesh, etc. And then we start Mitchilo of the Avodah Zar, Yov Aseinu, Vashav Kirana Makom, Lavodaso. So, the Chasam Sofer, 6, also starts with the Mashal, and he says that what's a Mashal? We have a beged, we have a clothing, and it was dirty. So the guy gave it into the clothes washing. So in those days, didn't have dry cleaning services, and so how did they wash the clothes? So how do they wash the clothes? So they take the dirty clothes, they first soak it in water, and then they add the ashes and like these not such clean stuff, but those the things, clean the thing, and they wash off the ashes and stuff, and then it's and the clothes are clean. So he says, fine. So we take the dirty clothes, we put on, we soak it, we put the ashes on, we wash off the ashes, then you have clean clothes. So he said, now what are you paying for here when you're paying this clothes washer? Are you paying him for washing off the ashes? He says, no, for that. Don't put on the ashes, don't wash them off. You know, that's what we're paying him for. What are we paying him for? We're paying him for to get off the original dirt that was there. That's what we're paying for him, not just to wash off the ashes. That, you know, that's. So he says the same thing over here. Hashem, what, put us into Mitzrayim, and then took us out of Mitzrayim, right? So that's like putting us into puts the ashes, you know, makes us dirty with put us into Mitzrayim, and then he takes us out. So, you know, Shkwek, thank you very much. Don't put us into Mitzrayim. Don't take us out of Mitzrayim. You know, you're putting us in Mitzrayim, taking us out. So, why? Better shouldn't have gone into Mitzrayim now, then we don't have to be redeemed. Therefore, what do we start with the Seder with? Mitchila oveda vodazara hayu avoseinu. Meaning, this coming to explain to us, Hashem didn't stop put us in Mitzrayim and take it out of Mitzrayim, because just don't put us in, don't take us out. But rather, we were dirty. We had to begin with, and that's mitchila of the avodah zarah was saying. We had dirt in our genes, therefore this had to be we had to be cleansed, and then we had to go to Mitzrayim and get the ashes, etc. And then he had it rinsed out, but that was necessary to get rid of the original dirt. That's why the Haggadah begins with mitchila of the avodah zarah was saying. Okay, it says. The Haggadah. V'kachas avichem es Avraham me'ever anar. It took Avraham. V'olechoto b'chol eretz Kanan. V'arbe zaro. And I made a sea great. V'ten lo es Yitzhak. Right? And then, what did I do? I gave him Yitzhak. Wonderful gift, right? He gave Avraham Yitzhak. And then it continues. It says, V'ten li Yitzhak. And what wonderful gifts did I give to Yitzhak? V'ten li Yitzhak es Yaakov es Esav. So what kind of a gift is Esav? And then I gave Yitzhak Esav. I gave Yaakov and Esav. What do you give? What kind of a gift is Esav? So he says that Ein Chanami. Really, it was supposed to be a gift. What is it like? Like he says with a husband and a wife, right? The wife is supposed to set the gashmias, you know, the house. So to give the wherewithal for the husband to learn, right? Have food and this and comforts so that he can learn properly. That's the tafkid of the wife. So Mele, that's the same thing why Hashem gave Esav and Yaakov together. It was the job of Esav. He was the Isadeh. He was supposed to be the Gashmias to get things, set the ground so that Yaakov can be involved in spiritual things, to be involved with learning. It's supposed to be a partnership, right? Esav to take care of the Gashmias and Yaakov, the Ruchnias. And in fact, that's why they were born together, right? They were twins. They were born together in the womb. Just like a man and woman, right? Originally, they were created du partsufim. Right, the man and woman were created together until Hashem separated them, because then they're together and they're partners. So too, Yaakov and Esav were born together because they were supposed to be partners. And Esav came out first. Why? Because you have to set the house before you get the mizgeret, get the framework clear, and then after that, once the framework's there, then you can use it. So too, he's. Came out first. Gilu, he's supposed to set the framework, so now Yaakov can come and be involved with Ruchnias. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case. It was supposed to be a gift, but Esav unfortunately used his free will for the worst, and he became a Rasha, and this whole plan didn't materialize. Okay. It says v'gamesa goy asher yavodu dananochi. Hashem said, and also the nation that was the Mitzrim that will enslave you, dananochi. I judge them. So see a couple of different ideas, almost opposites, but shivim panim l'Torah. So it says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself hit the Mitzrim, right? Hashem says that the nation that enslaves you, Dan Anochi, I'm going to judge them. Why Dafka? So he said, nice idea. He said, David HaMelech, he was not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because it says in the pasuk, "Divrei Yamin ki dam larov shafach," because he was involved with the killing people. So he was not allowed to, even though he did it obviously for the right reasons and everything, but still, the fact that he killed, so therefore he was not allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash. Now, Hashem wanted Bnei Yisrael to build the Mishkan. So therefore he said, if you're going to be involved with killing the Mitzrim, so you won't be able to build a Mishkan. Just like David, you're not allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash. So therefore Hashem says, Dan Anochi, I'll take care of the Mitzrim, I'll kill them, I'll do everything, this way you'll be able to build a Mishkan. He said on different lines, he says that why, asks similar, why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow the Jews to fight, the Bnei Israel to fight the Mitzrim and help them and beat them that way? As we see example with David HaMelech when he fought the Plishtim with the help of the angels, etc. So Hashem does that sometimes. He lets us do the fighting, Ki'ilu, and then he helps us and he sends us angels, this and that, whatever, to help beat our enemies. So why didn't he do that with the Mitzrim? Okay, one of what we said before, the answers, but another idea, he says, is that the Gemara says in Ksubas, that ain adam lo keo mishalim, right? And so if a person gets hit, get malchus, the Gemara is talking about, so he doesn't have to pay. Now Hashem wanted us to take the money of the Mitzrim to leave with rechush gadol. So therefore, if they would have been loke, if we would have hit them, so then they wouldn't be chayav to the shalim. They wouldn't have to pay. They wouldn't have to give us money. And Hashem wanted to give us money. So therefore, Hashem says, you don't loke, because if you're going to be loke, they're not going to have to be mishalem, they're not going to have to pay you. And I want you to get money. Therefore Hashem says, I'll take care of it, I'll mean the shemaim, you know, take care of them, kill them, or hit them, whatever. And then their money will be hefker, and you can take it that way. And that's what it says in the pasuk. Right, v'gamis agoy asher yavodu dan anochi. And what does it say after that in the pasuk? V'acharechein yetsu birchush gadol. So Hashem says, I'm going to dun them, and because of that, v'acharechein yetsu birchush gadol. You can go out birchush gadol with all the money because I'm doing it. If you were doing it, you wouldn't be able to. Okay, it says v'sham dal avoseinu lanu etzatrash v'chol dor v'dor amdim aleinu l'chaloseinu. So he's medayek that we say after this, right? Say ulman ma bikish lavan arami lasot Yaakov avinu, etc. It says arami oved avi. Right? The lashon of the pasuk is that the arami, which is lavan, he's oved avi. So he says oved is funny because it's a present tense. It should be avad, or right? He tried to wipe out, not he in the past, but not oved. Oved is present. He's wiping out in the present. So he says einachanami. It's present because. But still, to this day, the goyim are trying to wipe us out. So there, it's Arami Oved Avi. It's still here. It's in the present as well. Okay, the cute word says that Lavan Oved Avi. Right, he wanted to wipe out. He wanted to wipe out our father. So he asks in the name of Rav Hillel Lichtenstein, the Rav of Kol Mai, who said in the name of the Chasam Sefer, that he said, if that's the case, so why did Lavan, right, agree to give his daughters to marry to Yaakov? Right, Yaakov, Rachel, Leah, whatever. He was okay. Which one was first? Which one was second? But he was willing to give his daughters to Yaakov. Well, if he wanted to wipe us out, Arami Oved Avi, so why was he interested in giving us his daughters? So he says that Lavan knew the koach of Yaakov, and he knew the koach of his daughters. He knew the koach of Yaakov that whoever he would marry, whoever it might be, even if it would be a woman that was he would change her around, she'd become a tzedekis. And also he knew the koach, same koach of his daughters, Rachel and Leah, that if they would marry men who were Rishayim or whatever, they would turn them around and make them tzedekim. So Lavan didn't want to have a lot of tzaddikim in the world. So he says, oh, so what we'll do is I'll have my daughters, yeah, because if Yaakov marries some Harasha, he's going to make another tzaddik in the world. My daughter's going to be Rishayim, they're going to have more tzaddikim in the world. So I'll just take them and marry them off together, so it'll limit the amount of tzaddikim in the world. That's why he was willing. Okay. Yeah, it says that Vahi Sham Legoy Gadosh Melamed Shayu Yisrael Mitsuyanim Sham. So what does that mean, Mitsuyanim Sham? So they say it means that they were Sheloshinu Shmam Lashonam Malbusham. The Mitsuyanim, they were special in that they didn't change their names, their language, and their clothing in Mitzrayim. So Chasam Sofer is Medayik, interesting diuk in the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Kafches. It says over there, Shalu Talmidav as Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Bameh harach da yamim. They asked him, how is it that you live so long? And what schus did you live so long? You're living so long. So he said, because miyamai lo nistakalti bidmut adam rasha. Okay, so again, simple reading and learning the Gemara, Bekiyas, you know what he said? Okay, I never looked at a rasha in the face. And that's how, in that schus I lived a long time. But he's medayik. It doesn't really read in Ivri, right? It should have said, Miyamai lo histakalti, should have said, right? Miyamai, I never looked, Miyamai lo histakalti, but it says, lo lam lo nistakalti. Funny, should have said histakalti, not nistakalti. Nistakalti is passive. So he says that, therefore, what does it mean? It doesn't mean that I didn't look at the Rasha. It means lo nistakalti b'adam Rasha. It means I was never looked like an Adam Rasha. Meaning, I made sure I always looked different than these, people that are not keeping the Torah. I made sure I looked different, dressed different, whatever, and talked different. I was lo nistakalti, right? Adam Rasha. I didn't look like an Adam Rasha. Not that I didn't look at the Adam Rasha. I never looked like an Adam Rasha. Okay, it says v'yatzmu bimod meod v'timalei aretz osam. So he has two problems. First of all, what's the davar lashon? V'yatzmu bimod meod, and he became very, very great. What's the very, very? And also, what does it mean? V'timalei aretz osam. It should have said v'yimalu es aretz. Just said, and they filled the world. What is the land? What does it mean? V'timalei aretz osam. So he explains that meod has the lashon means money. Where do we see that? B'chol avavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'odecha. What is me'od? B'chol mamoncha, with all your money. So me'od means money. So me'le ve'yatzmu bi'me'od me'od means that me'od, of course, means a lot. So it means that you're going to have a lot of money. They had a lot of money. Bi'me'od me'od. They had a lot of od, a lot of money. Okay, and now we can understand that it says, and because of that, they unfortunately didn't grow in the Ruchnias. Because the more that you're involved with Gashmias, so the less involved you are with Ruchnias. So on the one hand, they became very wealthy, but because of that, they weren't growing so much in Ruchnias. Therefore, that the Tumas Haaretz filled them up. Not that they filled the land, but the land, the tomb of the land, filled them. V'timalei ha'aretz otam. The land filled them up with all the tomb of ha'aretz, because they were involved with the Gashmias instead of Ruchnias. Okay. It says, it's going on the Lashon V'yanunu, they afflicted us, whatever. So he says that, it's an interesting idea, that the purpose of Yisurin in the world are twofold. There's two types of Yisuri. Okay? One is, what is he compared it to? He compares it to two types of floors, right? They used to have floors of dirt. And you have to, whatever you want to call it, clean the floor, but they used to rake or whatever the floor to make it smooth, because the floor of dirt has like potholes, has holes in it, whatever, so you have to smooth it out to make it nice. A stone floor is not the case, right? A stone floor doesn't have holes and bumps or whatever, it's flat. So why do you clean it? Because it's got dust on dirt or whatever, and you're just cleaning to shine it up to make it look nice. But isn't it not containing really the holes? Mele says there's two types of Yisurin. The holes are like sins and etc. That you need the Yisurin to clean yourself of the sins. In other words, to fill up the holes. That's one type of Yisurin. Those are people that have holes, have sins, and have to be. They're like the dirt floor, and has to be smoothed out. However, tzaddikim, they don't have these sins, So they're like the stone floor. That does not be filled up because so why do we clean the stone floor? It's already solid. So it's just to brighten it up, right? To make it nice and clean and shiny because it has the dirt. So that was because the gashmias, whatever, it interferes and you can't bring out the ruchnias. In other words, just to get rid of the gashmias a little bit so that the ruchnias can shine forth from the tzaddik. That's why the tzaddik has yisurin. It's similar to the floor. Okay. It says ve'yanchu bnei Yisrael min ha'avoda ve'yizaku. Oh, sorry. Before that, it says ve'yam. It says a beautiful chap. It says ve'yamas melech Mitzrayim. It says that the king of Egypt died. So this is a beautiful idea. He says that why is it, you know, that the king died? It says, and then a new Paro came into the picture. Why? It says because that Paro, the original Paro, said he raised Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, mm-hmm. So it was not fitting that he's gonna, you know, go against this Paro that he owes a karasatov to, that helped him out, that raised him or whatever, etc. Okay. And therefore, that original Paro died, and another one took his place. So he doesn't know this is the same Akarasatov. Now, Paro, the original Paro, right? Didn't remember all the good that Yosef did, etc., etc., etc. And therefore, Mida Keneged Mida, Paro Moshe said, "Look, okay, but Moshe Lechora, fine. The original Paro that raised him is no longer here, but he still owes a karsatov to his children. So therefore, the next Paro, his child, is taken over. He should owe him a karsatov." But he said, "No, mina keneged mina. Just like the Egyptians didn't recognize the good of the previous generations of all that Yosef did and his brothers for Egypt. So therefore, mina keneged mina. I don't have to." Recognize the good, says Moshe, that your previous generation, your father did for me. Mina keneged mina. That's why he was able to go against the king. Okay. So now v'yenchu b'nei Yisrael min avodah v'yizaku. So he says the beginning of Geula is that you have to feel the shibu, right? Know that you're in shibu, and shibu, that you're enslaved. You're enslaved. So he said, "What is it a mashal to?" He says, "There was once a sick man that he was paralyzed. He was in a coma, whatever, and his whole body wasn't moving. So the doctor was, you know, very nervous. What's going to be with him? You know, he's in a coma, and all of a sudden, one day, he woke up." He woke up, but he started screaming because he's in a lot of pain. You know, he's now because when he was in a coma, he didn't have pain. He was, was out. But now that he woke up, he was screaming, whatever. And as soon as the doctor sees this, he's so happy and he's dancing or whatever. And the sick guy's looking at him and says, "Are you crazy?" He says, "I'm here. You're my doctor. I'm here, cringing in pain and everything, and you're dancing. You're happy." So he says, "No, you don't understand." He says, "Until now, you were lying there in coma, right? You're not moving. So then I was really worried because who knows, this might be the end. But now I see you woke up and you're okay in pain, but that the fact that you woke up, that's a good sign. And then, you get better now." So he says, so too, that if a person is so far from the Torah that he doesn't even realize, he doesn't have any tsar, he doesn't feel bad that he's far from the Torah, so then there's nothing much, it's hard to deal, he's pretty far gone. But as long as the beginning is, at least the person feels that he's far from the Torah, but at least he feels that he's far from the Torah, he recognizes that, so then he feels the pain, so then there's a hope that he can be cured. Okay. Shkoach.